see. From everything that is happening up to the 10th chapter, that, you know, Arjuna's desire to clarify the Supreme Vision of Krishna and the Supreme Vision of Bhakti. So, after the 12th chapter is over, Krishna has established the supremacy of Bhakti. And he talks about multiple levels of Bhakti and also about his devotees. But the 12th chapter began by talking about impersonal realization as compared to personal realization. So, that theme of impersonal realization, Arjuna asked for the question. Impersonalists have various terms. What do they actually mean? So, and that Krishna clarifies in the 13th chapter. The 13th chapter is basically a clarification of certain concepts that normally understood impersonalists. So that we understand. Now, the 14th chapter starts again not with the question from Arjuna, but directly with Krishna speaking. Like it's happening, chapter 12. So now, Krishna answered Arjuna's questions about Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Purusha, Prakriti, and like that. Answer Arjuna's questions about Kshetra, Kshetrajna. What are the six questions? Kshetra, Kshetrajna, then Jnana, Jnana, Purusha, Prakriti. And by the answer the question of Purusha and Prakriti, very foundational role for the linking of Purusha and Prakriti is Guna Sangos. Here, Purusha Prakriti story, Bhunte Prajanguna, Karana Guna Sangos. So then, Krishna anticipates that Arjuna would like to know how does this Guna Sangha actually take place. As earlier I mentioned that Acharya Bhakti has the 13 qualifications of the BJ. So from that Guna Sangha, actually the remaining chapters grow forward. So how do they grow forward, the remaining chapters? So what are those Gunas that is described in the 14th chapter? And how the seed of contact with the Gunas leads to a tree. That is described in the 15th chapter. So, Dhamula Madhava chapter. Okay. Then, the topmost and the bottommost parts of the tree are the divine and the demonic energies. That is described in the 16th chapter. And those who are neither divine nor demonic, they are in the middle. They are described in the 13th chapter. So, that is Prakriti Traya Vibhava Yoga. Shraddha Traya Vibhava Yoga. The variety of things. So, different disciplines. In 13th chapter, the crucial verse, the Bija verse is Purusha Prakriti Soli Bhumte Prakriti Anva Karanam Guna Sangha Mokshya Prakriti Yoga Nenish. 13.1. This Guna Sangha is what Krishna will elaborate. Because that is what caused the bondage. And if we understand that, that will bring more liberation. So that, what are the gunas and how the soul does the sangha of the gunas? That is described in the 14th chapter. Now, by the sangha of the gunas, how this material world comes into existence, how it grows, that is explained using the analogy of the tree giving rise to a tree. So from the guna sangha, the tree of material existence, the upside down ashwatthi tree, is emerging, which is described in the 15th chapter. Now, in this tree, there are divine and demonic creatures. So, the topmost part of the tree are the divine beings. On the topmost part of the tree is like the divine beings. On the bottommost are the demonic beings. So, those beings are described in the 15th chapter. And those who live in between, who are neither divine nor demonic, who are not either specifically divine nor specifically demonic. They will start with Kalvija. Follow someone.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha Param Bhurya Pravakshami Jnana Vyana Muttamam Yajnak Vamanaya Sarve Param Siddhin Sogatam.
భక్తి పరం మూల్య. సో కృష్ణ నాలెడ్జ్ ఫస్ట్ అండ్ సైన్స్ టర్న్ లాంగ్వేజ్ ఇస్ కరింగ్ హైయెస్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్. మహాబాహో శూమే పరమం వచః. సెకండ్ టైం సో నౌ లెట్ మీ షో అగైన్ దిస్ ఇస్ థర్డ్ సెన్స్ థర్డ్ టైం ఇన్ సర్ అండ్ ఐ విల్ టెల్ యు టాప్ మోస్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్. సో ఆఫ్ కోర్స్ నౌ అబౌట్ హౌ కృష్ణ ఇఫ్ యు సీ ద టెన్త్ చాప్టర్ కృష్ణ గ్లోరిఫై హిస్ భక్తి ప్రాణంలో విల్ టాక్ అబౌట్ హౌ టు మేనిఫెస్ట్ ఇన్ మ్యాటర్. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో హౌ కృష్ణ మెటల్ నేచర్ అండ్ టాంగిల్ ది సోల్ అండ్ హౌ భక్తి కెన్ లిబరేట్ ది సోల్ అకార్డింగ్ టు సర్. And then, Param Siddhi Sito Vataha, attained the Param Siddhi, Supreme Destination. Now how can they, how will they attain the Supreme Destination? That will elaborate in the next verse. Idam Jnanam Upashritya Mamta Dharmya Magataha Sarve Dino Pajayante Pravaye Nagathanticha. Who is supposed to be? Continue.
Here the sections are slightly different from what is given in the study guide.
The second section, there are more details given. The first and second section, the divisions are slightly different. master spiritual knowledge, we take shelter of Krishna. If we try to approach spiritual knowledge, we become a master. Then actually we are defeating the purpose of spiritual knowledge. The purpose of spiritual knowledge is that we give up the mentality of master level and master level. So if you want to master spiritual knowledge, then you will get the knowledge, but you will not get the purpose of the knowledge. So for example, Maya Apahita Jnana, they are interested in it. They get the jnana, but they lose the purpose of the jnana. If they get jnana Bhagavad Gita, but they lose the purpose of the jnana, that is for Krishna, Krishna Bhakti. So, and then if we approach to the Apsutnana, publicly attitude for service is very important. Krishna later that, 18.17, he said that, so he studied his Bhagavad Gita, worshipping his temple. So he has a talent for him, studying Gita, more scrutinizing, you know, Christian and Muslim study much more good than in English. Yeah, at least that scholar, Supreme Court. Not all of them, obviously. That scholar, he said, but poor people like what we do. And they point out contradictions. It is worse and worse. So, and it is actually, religion bashing is a favorite game for all of us. So, if you, you know, you find contradictions within the Quran, contradictions in the Bible, contradictions in the Gita also. Contradiction in the mistake in the middle. But the point is that somebody is studying, you know, to be able to do it. Imagine, as one Sanskrit scholar, he has made a list of grammatical mistakes in Bhagavad Gita. He is saying that all these words, here, for example, this word should be Atitarashyati, this Atitarayati. It's a grammatical mistake. And he made a long list of grammatical mistakes. Now grammar rules also keep changing. So what we call the grammar is grammatical mistake cannot be a mistake 500,000 years ago. But the point is, somebody is studying, scrutinizing it, but it's of no use. But the attitude is entirely wrong. The attitude is not to learn, to surrender, but to criticize and find fault. So, Chakravarti Pali comment in talk several times, but there is something in them, because Bhagavad Gita is not text, it's poetry. And poetry, there is something called poetic writing. So, it's like in English also, when you write poetry, normally we write in a normal linear sense. He has gone out. So, you could write a poem, out he has gone. So, you can change the rules a little bit in grammar as per poetry itself. That is called poetry writing, that is allowed. But that is my example. The point is that there are many poems that are recognizing me, but the attitude is to control. To master, then one doesn't get the purpose of the knowledge. Several years ago, I had asked Gauranga for this, 2 years ago. You know, Gauranga, I like Bhagavad Gita very much, but I am not even related to Bhagavad Gita. So I told him that, you know, I can memorize Bhagavad Gita, but I can quote them, and I analyze and understand. I like Bhagavad Gita. Then you will relate to Bhagavad Gita, but not with Bhagavad Gita. So you see, so you will relate to Bhagavad Gita because you can control Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad is too big, you are not able to control it. So you are not able to relate to it. I will be surprised by this answer. If you think, how should I develop this from out? Keep studying and hope that Pandya can control Bhagavad Gita. Pandya is very children, I will be surprised by this answer also. Should we try to control it? Of course not. But at least study scripture and reference you will want with the hope of control. But if you study, because we are not just controlling the entire point, we are trying to purify it. So, you know, when Purna Chandra Maharaj was teaching our Bhagavad Gita, at that time, I asked a lot of questions. So from there he went to Mumbai. And Gauravapat was studying more. Gauravapat was asking. So, you know, how was your Bhakti Shastri teaching? He said, Gauravapat wrote only one verse. It's too nice to be an engineer. The engineer has to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not an engineering object for them to analyze. Then I understood that. Then he mentioned about, he was asking a lot of questions. So then after 1 year, he came back to the second part of it. Almost 9, 10, 11 months. So when he came back there, I waited and waited and waited. I apologized to him. So he said, I tell you nothing, man. So he had troubled the Lord last time. I won't trouble you this time. I know you won't trouble me. What do you think? I know the funny little bhakti yoga stops in your heart. So, given it's initially approach to our talking with when you go to a very nice and nice teacher, he's not very nice at it. So tell him, there isn't any quote verses. Often he's quoted in Jesus' heart. It's no others. How great is that? See how many are. Because the core version of Ishwara Bhava, you may get the Ishwara Bhava, but you will not get the Bhakti Bhava. You will not get the purification that results from reciting the verse. Writing verse is very good, memorizing verse is also very good. But there is activity and purpose of it. So the purpose is just to increase our quality of it. Then the Bhakti will be overshadowed by that. Of course, memorizing verse is better than memorizing Krishna's name or Mumsa's name, but still you will get, you will be getting minimal benefit. For example,
But the point is that, but if the point
find is that whatever interest or ability we have, as Jain Rathore was telling, that what the principle of Varanashram is that we do what we are good at. Like I mentioned earlier, Varanashram means that everyone has to fix problems, but Varanashram uses the kind of problem that we like to fix. So in general, within Islam also, devotees are given services which they are good at, or which they have which they need to get. And one says that is good for them because they will be able to do certain things, so it is good for the moment. But it is when we do what we are good at, it is very difficult to think that we are not doing. That is the real problem. Because, you know, when we are doing something which we are not good at, we are only wanting to tell others, I am not going to do it. So, but when we are good at doing something, then it is very difficult to remember it like that. But I am not anywhere. I am a very good manager, a very good teacher, a very good counselor. So, what happens is, you know, different people get assigned different things. So, if somebody is a very good singer, and he thinks that he is a very good singer, when he is called, he is very happy. So, now, somebody is a very good counselor, if somebody says, I want your guidance, he says, yeah, you want my guidance. Somebody is not a good counselor, if somebody comes and asks for guidance, I don't have guidance. You know, depending. So what happens is, the ego makes simulations by different roles. When somebody doesn't know singing, and when you ask him to sing, that is the most frightening thing for him to do. So generally, the point I am making is, what we are good at, it is very easy to think in that we are the doing. And then if you think as a doer, then if you want fame, you will get fame, but not praise. So that's why the challenge is there. But in general, the solution is not to know who the things we are good at, but to feel the problem. So I asked another question. So he told me that actually it is very difficult for us when we are doing it to remember that we are not the doers. But what we can do before starting an activity which we are good at, and after that activity, because that is the meditation and we can do it. So that's where we can try to define our consciousness. So many times when we are doing it, it's not just the passion, but it's also the activity is so engaging, so challenging that we will not remember Krishna at that time. So I am going to do something. As we are speaking about Krishna without remembering Krishna. I don't know if you have noticed it. We are speaking about Krishna, but we are conscious of what is the effect of my speech on others, then we are conscious of Krishna. So, it happens sometimes. But then, still, this is being said, at least later on there is something that is in the opera. Actually, when a plane is flying, if it takes off from Mumbai to Calcutta, according to airplane statistics itself, airplane record itself, 90% of the time the plane is off track. 90% of the time. Well, how does the plane come back on a regular station? Because the pilot is always off track. All the gone off track. So there are clouds, there are waves, there are atmospheric disturbances. So the plane will keep going back. So like that, when we are practicing bhakti, I just want to keep going. But the tricky is, not that we are okay, the plane will walk track, let it land something here. That is also the case. Okay, get it back on track. So that's what we are, that's what we have to do, the activity which we are doing. Now, here is not as I ask you a question, because he is my guy in writing is actually a problem. So I ask him about this thing, to do what we are good at, is that lacking in surrender? So he has told me, you know, actually, if we don't engage devotees in doing what they are good at, we will be a society of miserable people.
Everybody is told to do. What? Your proof of your surrender is that you do what you don't like to do. Everybody will do it, but everybody will be miserable. And then what do you think miserable people do? So who will be attacked? So in general, we have to engage, we have to do what we are good at. But we have to try to avoid that feeling of jealousy. That is quite the assignment of the meditation. But not doing is not the solution at all.
Nothing is, it's like not treating the disease, hoping that it will go away. Sometimes when you go to a hospital, in the hospital also there are so many diseases, you get more diseases there. But if you don't go to the hospital only, it is not going to go away. So like that, when you go for preaching, you go into contaminated area, you might get more diseases. It's possible. But if you don't go for preaching, it's not that you don't have a disease, you already have the disease, and it goes back. But the purification comes to our service. And that's the other thing, devotional service, devotional sacrifice, that is the norm. So service always has to go on, and whenever there is some problem with the consciousness, the other devotees tell us, other people bring us, then we can try to refine our consciousness. But service has to go on all the time. Stopping with service is a really emergency situation. It's not a practical solution for most problems. Because when you stop with service, what will you do? If you start doing nothing, the mind will never go to you. And if you start doing something you don't like to do, then the mind will also start complaining more. It's not a thing to stop doing what we are good at or what we like to do. It can also be useful for you. Dear to us for Krishna's sake. So that we can do that. In general, it's always better to have a negative vow and ultimately a positive vow. So if I decide that, okay, we'll start it, now I'll not take breakfast, I'll not take dinner or something like that. Then it's better that you also make a vow that I can't go wrong with. Because just not, just like Ekadashi, fasting is going to equally, if not more important than Krishna Shanti, or core Krishna Mantra. So the regulatory aspect also helps. You don't know, it helps as an element of Mantra. I like this story, so I'll draw that story, so that I'll give this story. Well, I think it's a little twisted logic. Because, no, why is it twisted? It is because this, our service generally involves a lot of people. Something which we like to do. For example, if you're in the car, religion is also good to do. But if you are a preacher, and for the sake of Krishna, for 1 month I will not preach. All your counselors will be crying, so they don't get revival. Generally, our personal vows should not affect others. It should not affect others, especially in the nation. But generally, that is it. Because we also want to reconcile this individual unity. Individual unity is collective unity. Right? Some devotees say that when I chant with other devotees, not everyone chants so loudly, sometimes some devotees don't see me. I get this, I have to go alone and chant. Actually, don't speak with them. I chant with them. You ask Maharaj. Maharaj is a man. He can do it. Then the collective unity is more important than individual. So, this is the solution. This is what we do. We have to do it. Let it go. But generally, our individual vows should not be affected. Don't affect the community in any way. So what will happen by the taking care of Krishna is Kamsa Dharma Mahavataha. One is attain my nature. What is that nature? Sargeti Nopajayante Kravaya Nathanti. One is not born in the next creation. And not only that, when this destruction takes place, one will not be destroyed. One will not be disturbed because one will not be attached to the body. One will have realized one's own spiritual nature. So first, like Krishna did, the 7th and 9th chapters, before giving the knowledge, he glorifies the knowledge. So here are the same thing. First two words are glorifying the knowledge that he's going to. and then you start teaching. So now in order to describe how the sangha between the Purusha and the Prakriti takes place, Krishna first describes how both of them come about. Although both of them are eternal, and they manifest in this material world, there is a starting event. The creation, the Prakriti and Purusha are eternal Tattva, but creation has a beginning. And at the time of creation, Purusha and Prakriti come together. So that beginning of the creation is described as Krishna. This is the background described in Moses. Mama yonir mahat brahma tasmin darbham darhamyaham sambhavat sarva bhutanam sarva bhavati bharata. So yoni means womb. It's interesting. Krishna is saying mama yoni. So my womb. Normally the name is there, the womb is of somebody else. But here, Krishna himself is also, the word Brahma refers to not only Bhagwan, it not only refers to Jivatma Dham Brahma, Brahma also refers to material nature. So here, the word Brahma refers to material nature. Mahat Brahma. So Krishna is himself God, but he is also Brahma. He is also impregnating material nature, he is also Brahma. That's why I think Mama Yoni. Tasmin garbham dadham. So all the garbha is given? Garbhalam samskare. So garbha is given by the male and the female. So this garbha, just about by the female, is the aggregate of collective consciousness. The aggregate, so it's not one, it's not that every time a man and woman unite, at that time the Lord is given the garbha. No. All the souls are impregnated into material nature by his plan at the start of creation. And then later on, the souls go into different homes by their own karma. So this is talking about the beginning. Sarvat Bhavya, Sambhava, and because he gives the seeds of all the angels after that, Sambhava Sarva Bhutanam, all the angels start. Sattva Bhavati Bhavya. So now, how all the Sarva Bhutanam start? How all the human activities come back from that original union? That will be described in the next one. Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahat yoni aham bija pradarsita. Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya murtaya. How are they formed? Asam Brahma Mahadyoni. Same word Krishna used in Sindhya verse here. Aham Vijaya Pradapta. So here it's more clear. Manishara is the mother, he is the father, and he is living the seed. And from that seed, all living beings are born. So now, the living beings are born. But after they become born, some other forces come into action. That are the actions, that are the modes. And in the next verse, Krishna will introduce the modes. And even in these three modes, in the next verses, 6, 7, 8 describe the predominant characteristics, the introduction of each of the modes. This 4 describes goodness, 7 to describe passion, 8 to describe goodness. Satsvam rajastama iti na prakriti sambhava ivadanti mahabaho dehe dehi namavyanam. Who is the question? Dehe Dehinam Avyayam. So, material existence continues on eternally. Living entity is Avyaya. So when he comes in the material world, he becomes bound. And here Krishna describes the existence of Arjuna as Mahabaho. You are very powerful, but the one thing is the mode is all the more powerful. One is the mode will bind everyone. Nobody escapes from it. I mathematical called as temporary and self called as permanent, both transitional and manifest. Mental nature is not called temporary either. Prabhupada explains in instruction, the fight of Chi, Ishwar, Kala, Dharma, Prakriti. Only karma is temporary. All four are eternal. So mental nature is manifestation of temporary. So mental nature is eternal. And the soul, when he is in the material world, he manifests an unmanaged. When he goes out of the spiritual world, there is no manifestation unmanaged. There is eternal manifestation only. But mental nature is never considered temporary. He says that now, when we use the word temporary, sometimes that is more in the context of refuting Mayavadi. Mayavadi say that this material world is illusion. He says it's not illusion, it is illusory. Illusory is temporary. But again, what is temporary is the form. The forms are temporary. The form, the shape, the sound, the sense object. Material nature manifesting as a sense object, that is temporary. But material nature is not eternal. We just discussed in the 20th verse. Vidhi anadi prakriti. Purushan prakriti chaiva. Vidhi anadi ubhav. Ubhav is both are divided. Correct. Even in the outer of the act, like material nature will be most of the time. Only when they become conscious, then they start acting spiritually. When they go Krishna conscious, I think they will be conscious. So, here Krishna is telling the three modes. We'll introduce them one by one. Atra sattvam nirmalatva prakashatamanamayam sukhasangena padmati jnanasangena chanadha. So among tatra, tatra means among these three, relatively speaking, the mode of goodness is nirmalatva, it is pure. The mala is much lesser. But what are its characteristics? Prakashakam and anamayam. So it is illuminating. Anamayam means it is not agitating, not distressing. Amaya means distress. Sarve, or that you must say, sarve, sarve dhatra, sarve kuntum rama. ప్రకాశకం క్వాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గుడ్నెస్ క్రియేట్స్ ద జ్ఞాన సంగతి బికాస్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సో ఇల్యూమినేటింగ్ ఇట్ అటాచెస్ ద సోల్ ద సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ and anamaya, the free from distress characteristic, creates a sukha samadhi. That makes him attached to sankara. I see the mode of goodness if somebody is living. So the stresses of material existence are not so apparent. The more we come into the mode of passion, the stresses increase more and more. Because the desire is torture of us. The mode of goodness is not really existence. So that gives us knowledge and happiness, they become the source of knowledge. They become the source of not wanting to come out of this material world. So it's like somebody who goes to the airport and he's gone to the airport to take a flight to go out of the country. When he goes to the airport, he gets a job. The job is not over. So you know, I got a good job. My job there was better than the job I had in my village. So no need to go out, I'll stay here only. So like that, many times what happens? This happened a bit in our moment earlier. The devotees were from very, very unfortunate background. They were materially also quite incompetent. They came to true consciousness and by Krishna mercy, by Prabhupada's mercy, they said, "What is in that? In spiritual and everything like that." And then they said, "I can do this in that." But here I thought, "I can do this in that." And then they said, "Okay." They can do things, you know, actually, you have to choose. Some of them they were very good with the students, some of them went there. They became a lot of marketing agents for outside companies. And what happened was, they became crushed. Srimad Krishna Guru was a political protester. And those abilities create the energy that we are the controller. Then they are unfortunate. So, they are given, and the ability they are given, yes, and the ability they become controllers. But we should be controlled on behalf of the Supreme Court. The Assault of Commissioner, the Central President, Spiritual Master, they are all controlled. They have a lot of control. So the control is in service to Supreme Court. But sometimes it happens that the more of goodness, we like to not have that bad. Because this was how, in the earlier experience, Satyuga, Devra Yuga, we wonder if the culture is so good. Why are people not bhaktas? Even if Bhagavata said, even at that time also Sudurlabha Prashantatma Kotishwati Mahani. Narayana Parayana Dhiri Dhe. Why? Because at that time, Punya was the cause of bondage. Punya was the cause of bondage. But your path is a distraction. Punya was a distraction. Like nowadays people say that, but as a cricket player, I don't have time to come for a book somewhere. Like, I have to move to jail here, so I don't have time for coming for Jaffa or whatever. You know, I do jail here, I do jail here, I do jail here. All your dharma come here. So, what will happen was, you just get create a sense of goodness. I'm teaching. So, that's fine. So, at that time, the mode of goodness is common. The mode of goodness is a good takeoff platform for transcendence. But more of goodness can also be a platform for different virtues. Now Krishna will say the next word, the more of passion. Rajo ragatmakam vidhi Krishna sanja samadbhavam Sanni vajnati kaunteva karma sangena devinam. Krishna-sanga, sorry, that's what it means. Krishna refers to hankering for what we don't have. And Sanga refers to attachment for what we have. And by both of these what happens? Karma-sangena. We become bound to hard work. Because to protect what we have to work hard. And to get what we long also, we have to work hard. So in this way, by both, karma-sangena. We become bound by karma. And then, Maheshwari describes how the mode of ignorance mind. Samastvajnana jamvidhi mohanam sarvadehinam pramadalasya nidrahi sannivasnati bharatam. He is describing Pramad Alasya Nidrahi. That actually these three are the effects of the mode of ignorance. What is that? Pramad is madness, Alasya is laziness, Nidrahi is sleep. So, he is telling graphic characters. Or very graphic. But Pramad is sleep, person is mad. And this is really the mode of ignorance. Taking over more and more of the same. How do we know that it's taking over more and more of society? If you look at the kind of games that people play, you must know about this WWF, this is mad fighting, banging into people. Can you consider that an enjoyment? Now the most popular sport they are calling living on the edge sports. At least you know, you jump out of an airplane and you are given a parachute. And it's a gamble whether your parachute is working or not. There are some parachutes, about 10 parachutes are put, and 5 of them are working, 5 of them are not working. You have to choose one of them and jump off. And you know, they will get a thrill in that. It's so crazy. Yeah, they die. They do all sorts of crazy things just to show how actually I can do this. afraid of.
Yes, doing things that others are afraid of doing, not a sign of intelligence, not a sign of courage.
But overall, if you see the sports are becoming more and more violent. Violent is kind of more fear. And overall, also, the entertainment of movies, music, it's so, not just fascinating, it's so good. If you see the modern style of music, hook, 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 bang, 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 bang.
There's not even musical sense in it.
Still, what happens is that actually people are so bored with their lives that they just need something to get themselves out of their boredom. And their absorption in the boredom is so great that they need a big bang to come out of their boredom. Big bang. So, what happens is you see that how that most people's idea of enjoyment in Kali Yuga is to forget the boredom of their life. If something can make them to forget the boredom of their life, it's not that. Actually, yes, we all want to forget the boredom of life, but that is not by going into further religion of a movie or of a... Now, the ideal example of Samaguna is Vidyodhi. Is it?
You
just sit on a bed, and then they press button and they think I'm a big hero shooting down digital images using a button, and the person is so lazy that he doesn't even get off his bed. You know? See, actually, in Rajaguna at least, people do eating, sleeping, eating differently. In Tamaguna, people enjoy, others do eating, sleeping, eating differently.
So they're so lazy that they don't want to eat themselves.
So that's why, you know, playing cricket is better than watching cricket.
Playing cricket, at least some exercise will be there. But watching cricket, what is there?
So practically no benefit at all. So, pramad, laziness, and nidra. So, samastu ajnana jamyati. So here, Chakravarti Pada said that ajnana jam means, not that it is born of ignorance, but that it leads to ignorance. And ignorance has its three forms. The mode of ignorance leads to tamas is a darkness, abhyana is also ignorance. It leads to ignorance manifests in a single way. Pramad, alasya and nidra. So, now especially one of the greatest causes of the mode of ignorance is television. So what happens to television? It just paralyzes one's intelligence.
It paralyzes the body also, but more than that, it paralyzes the intelligence. Because actually when you're reading, the actual engagement is there.
This is your watching, you don't do anything. Or the only thing that happens is the mouth is chewing something.
Apart from that, there is no, everything else is paralyzed.
Yeah.
So it is active paralysis. No, intelligence is working in the sense that it is simply
going the way the TV program is going. Actually, practically, there is no original functionality. It's getting programmed and acting according to the program. Both. So now there is a large number of secular people also who are saying that there are television actors in America, movie actors, who tell their children, we don't allow you to watch TV. Because they themselves know what is there. Chandramani Maharaj last time here, he gave me a book, Four Reasons for the Elimination of TV. And written by a person who was in the TV media. How insidiously it affects people's minds. And recently, you can just have one program. And generally, if you have to market something, you have to go and knock at the person's door and you open the door and talk. Because you can just in one place and you get entrance not only in people's house but directly into people's minds. And not one but millions of people can be directly. So he has analyzed historically in that book how the whole pattern of society changed through television. So nowadays, because of television, people consider what they see on TV as more real and more important than what they see in real life. So, this conclusion of the book is, the most important thing is decrease television watching. We don't want to decrease television, get television out. It is the medium is non-reformable.
That is his conclusion.
The medium is non-reformable.
So, of course, it's not a popular topic to talk among. Even any devotees at their houses have tendency to say that they would like to watch filter for Atma and other filter programs. Well, they can come to the temple and hear Atma lecture. Okay, it can be there, but
cripple
temple. Of course, devotees can make the best of any bad bargain. But you know, first of all, we should know it is a bad bargain. If we don't know that, then we just get the... We don't realize how it is. So, it's really very crippling to them too. So, this American president, Obama, he was into your speech, he said, all American children, all of you have to really work very hard. Because otherwise all your jobs will be taken away by Chinese education. So, why? He actually said that openly. And he said that practically speaking, in our country, the working of the country is because of Chinese people and Americans. There are some Chinese and Indian people. Some American people surely there are the top one in this industry. But most of the workforce in America is from in China and India. So, why? Because in there, education in India is also coming more and more, but there is so much that people in India. There are surely a lot of people who do work, but there are much more people who don't. So, they can have very advantage. Especially now, all living in a place. They also have start with the GPS and all this. Very expensive. Degradation goes very, very fast. So, of course, now we are planning the blessings of all of Krishna. Make the Krishna conscious video. So, we are planning that. That we can try to put some Krishna consciousness that people are going to get Maya anyway. It can be very powerful form of teaching also. But first of all, we have to know that the bad part is two types of the best part. How to know the difference between unlimited desires and madness? Even when there are desires, in the mode of passion also, generally people use rationality. Rationality, that means what? Okay, I want to go to America. You work hard. So, then overall rationality is there. That when people are in the mode of ignorance, that's extreme rationality. It's crazy. They get frustrated and blow themselves up. You all have to do this. A few days ago there was all in the news, one day was telling me that in China there was a boyfriend and a girlfriend, they're supposed to get married, and one day before the marriage, the boyfriend kissed the girl, and she was somewhere in a prominent city of China, and she was in a skyscraper in a public square, and from the window she jumped out. There were little thousands of people watching, and as she was jumping out, some local security officer saw her, and he caught her by the arm. And she said, I don't want to come. And she was screaming and thousands of people were watching. So, that became a big photo sensation.
Yeah, this woman in a bride's dress wanted to jump on.
And this person trying to save. So the point is that this is evil. Committing suicide out of frustration. So it's crazy. But what happens is, at least when there is a passion, there is some sort of organized fear. Passion is also something that's controlled. In goodness, we try to control Sakuti. Idea, plan, concept.
In goodness, we try to control Sakuti.
In passion, we try to control process. In ignorance, we get frustrated because we can't control anything. So, there is no rationality generally in the mode of ignorance. Then ignorance of person will harm himself. Generally, it's not necessarily like that. Ignorance is characterized by violence to oneself and violence to others.
there's obstruction, you like to say no. And generally when a person goes towards violence, that means the passion has been generated with him. But in one sense, in passion, what happens is that a person is doing a lot of work and that work is creating problems. Like in your Saman Yojin, the IIT work. He asks, our world is having so many problems. So all of you are engineers. What do you think the scientists should do to solve the world's problems? All of you is an answer. The scientists have to do one thing only. Stop doing it. Because nature has its healing mechanism and nature will heal itself. But by our doing, we are creating stuff. So in that sense, more of action also creates stuff. And if more of ignorance leads to laziness and peace, then that's okay. If more of ignorance is leading to violence, like we say, always have this question. Sometimes, some devotees, some people, they create so much trouble that when they go to sleep, you feel relief.
At least they are not going to create any trouble now.
Especially this happens with parents who have small children. A child goes to sleep when the parents are busy. Of course, allow the child, but still some children are super mischievous. And some people grow up but they remain childlike in their minds. So then we also have that analysis where we say that lazy intelligence, active intelligence, then active fool and lazy fool. So lazy fool is really sound. So in that sense, the person more of ignorance will be sound. But when a person is active fool, that could also become ignorance. If ignorance is going mad, when ignorance is going to sleep, okay, that's good. But if ignorance is going mad, then you will bring a lot of problems. So ignorance is one character of intoxication. Other than violence, you can't make a rigid dividing line that you don't know where to see the actions, what they are. And then you realize which is more harmful or which is harmful. Chaturvati Pada is saying over there. The question is that Tamasu Abhyana Gandhi. So Chaturvati Pada says over there that if you just say the name literally, then it is Abhyana leads to Tamas. Ignorance leads to ignorance. It's similarly illogical. This is the mode of ignorance, which is a general mode, which causes ignorance among people. And that ignorance manifests itself as Ramana Dharma. It's especially the Sanskrit matter. The problem is not which causes which, but ultimately both create problems. Our ignorance is causing the mode of ignorance to come upon us, or whether the mode of ignorance is causing us to come upon us.
See, it's like,
it's a good question, and this is important because it will lead to the later section. So, is it that when we are ignorant, the mode of ignorance influences us? Or when the mode of ignorance influences, we become ignorant. Which is it? It's both. Isn't it? It's like, generally, if we go in a dark room and then decide that everybody has to sleep, now or suddenly night.
So, what is going to happen?
We are going to a place and mode of ignorance is very strong. And what will happen? We will be affected by mode. The mode of ignorance is great ignorance in us. On the other hand, So the important thing is not which causes it. The problem is that what happens at the end is the So the solution is that in general it's described that the soul can change the mode influencing him by small choices. The small choices are explained in the Uttar Gita to analyze it very well. We don't have time for that. But those of you interested, you can read this chapter. Chapter 25 of the Uttar Gita. There is, Lord Krishna describes 10 factors which we can change, by which we can change the mood influence. They are external factors. So now, whatever mode of ignorance, mode of passion we have internally, we can't change that so fast. That requires purification. Okay, past impressions of lust, past habits of laziness, they are not so easy to change. They'll take some time to purify. But, so in that sense, that internal passion or internal ignorance will attract the external mode of passion, mode of ignorance towards us. That we can't affect much in gradual purification. But we can change certain external, by which the externals don't affect the internal. Externals don't produce the internal, it's an aggravated. So, for example, if you get ahar, say three developments of so many ahar, then Rajoguna will increase itself. Many of us have had our experience, right, before we became Brahmachari, we went home for a few days. If we take food at home, we not prasad. So, suddenly we see a difference in consciousness. How is that happening? That is, it's not that we are pure, that we actually, the prasad is making sure that our consciousness is pure. Naturally, we come in contact with something is pure, intuitively that itself is not stimulated. So, there are many things like that which we can change. And the example that is given is a grid. Now, if there is a grid, you say there are 10 pegs, 10 nails kept in the grid, very close to them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 10 vertical, 10 horizontal. And you drop a marble from above. So the marble is very small. Marble is very squeezed between the two pegs, and the marble goes here. Now, if you drop it from above and the peg of it kept at that, this peg is here, this peg is here. The next pegs are not at the same level, they are the opposite level, like this. The pegs are like this. That means if the, a marble falls here, then it will fall over here, it will not just go straight down. It has to fall on the peg. So it's like this, and it will be like this. So what happens is, that the marble falls here, by chance it can go this way also, it can go this way also. And it falls here, by chance it can go this way also, it can go this way also. But depending on if it falls this way, its trajectory is going to be very different. If it falls this way, its trajectory is going to be different. So, now, that means, to some extent, this arrangement of pegs is like our psychophysical nature. That we can't change. That the pegs are already there. But if every time we arrange when the marble falls, we are always going to go towards the right. Right. Then the destination will be very different from what it would be if it was a random. So like that, we can't radically suddenly change our whole life. But in small changes we can make, which can take us towards the mode of goodness. Small differences. Prabhupada writes in the purport over here, that the mode, which by repeatedly choosing a particular mode, we can increase that mode. Simple thing. It's a chanting. It's a kneel against the wall and stuff. You know what happens? They are inviting the mode of ignorance. So, Rupa Goswami always tells this story. Rupa Goswami, at once he was kneeling against the wall and chanting. So, Maharaj came and told him, he chants of the holy name, not of the wall. So, there is a small thing. But it is a room system. Actually, we are getting sleepy. Sometimes sleep is because of tiredness. Sometimes, most of the time, sleep is because of lack of interest. So, what happens is when there is nothing interesting for us to do, there is something more interesting to do. And we go to sleep and start dreaming. So then, if we just put some water on the face and go away, sometimes sleep goes away. Not always, sometimes we do need rest. The point is that, by eating small choices, we can considerably change the mode of the influence. So, in one sense, the internal causes the external causes the internal. So, we are trying to change the internal by our purification. But, that will be gradual, we can try to change the external as we are doing. It's only external. When I teach you, I protect you from the lower. Will you be forced by the internal to choose a particular external? Or will you push? Will not be forced. You can counter push. That means, a simple example. That means I have a lot of passion. Then I have an intention to overeat. But because nobody is forcing me to overeat, then we push it. So one way to avoid overeating is to just decide in advance, this is the quantity I am going to eat. Or if you can't decide, then this is the first time I am going to eat. After that, it's over.
It's a little difficult.
But different.
So generally, you know, fixing the quantity is a better way of doing it. And that also, another problem is we can't fix up the quantity at one figure. Because sometimes our hunger is more, sometimes after a long time the stomach is clear, so you feel more hungry. There are various factors. So in general, rather than fixing a figure, we can fix a range. Then it's easier. It's a range. Then, okay, this much imagine, not anything more. So like that, no, that is it. So we will be pushed, we can't completely stop the pushing. But we can restrict how much we push. This small for now, overeating is because of passion. And we do know, we do not have full control. But we don't have full lack of control also. We do have some control. And by repeatedly choosing the right option, that increases. So that's how it works. Actually, over a period of time, we have started realizing that overeating will not work. You know, the pleasure that comes by overeating is more than counteracted by the misery that comes after. The misery is if you have a class, you feel frustrated, you are sleeping in the class. If you don't have a class, you sleep, you feel frustrated, you have slept so much. So, both ways, so over a period of time, we can relax and then we do. So there are small choices which we can make. And by those choices, we do become changed over the people. And this is how some people can change themselves to some extent even without pushing the change. Even majority people sometimes develop good habits. How do they develop good habits? Because I want to go every morning to jogging. People sometimes are different. They do that. How do they do that? The receipt in choosing that activity, waking up in the morning, you can make it into this. Jogging is in passion. But,
waking up in the morning is in good
thing. Still, it's something which even metal people can choose. The devotee people should choose certain habits or things of that.
From Shiva Raja.
Yeah. Yeah, good one. Let's move forward. So we discussed the mode of ignorance. Now, let's summarize it all. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati raja karmani bharata jnanam avrishyati tamah pramade sanjayastuta.
Summarize because now he's going to go into details. Now what did he describe in the next verse? Next verse describes how it is not that there is only one mode in a particular. There is one. And when there is competition among the modes, so next verse will describe the competition among the modes. And the next three verses will describe how to recognize which mode is winning in that competition. Competition is going on in our own hearts. And when a particular mode predominates, then certain characteristics come. So first it describes the subtle going on within the mode. Rajas tamascha bhibhuya sattvam bhavati bharata rajas sattvam tamascha eva tamasattvam rajas tatha. Thank you. actually yesterday I seen that picture of the person with those three female forms. They are the person with the three monograms. Take property as fully. No? So actually, sometimes all things, you know, say comfortable about in a company.
We work for 6 days, you know, we just stayed in the company and we crashed and we hit the person. It's very big. Yeah, I think it's so. Actually, on top of the more of my clinical ability, I made you work so hard.
So basically, they conquered ignorance and they conquered goodness.
I think I did so much.
So that's basically, the more we are competing in our own mind, the more it affects the mind. I mentioned this earlier, this repetition. What exactly is the mode? What is the guna? Is the mode is a subtle force that shapes the interaction between consciousness and matter. It shapes the interaction between consciousness and matter. So, the mode is a subtle force that shapes the interaction between consciousness and matter. So, how does it shape the interaction? Mode is subtle force that shapes the interaction between consciousness and matter. So how does it shape the interaction? Simple example. That let's say three people are traveling by bus and they are sitting on the window seat of Peter Stanley row of chairs. Now all of them are watching out at a green forest. And the first one is going to the second is passing through the window. Person goodness is trying to read a book and the bus is bumping from the and he looks over and second is in the mode of passion. Fortunately for us, he remembers the latest romantic Bollywood movie as well. And he remembers how the hero is going to dance. He had a part, he was dancing.
And the third person is the mode of ignorance.
He's trying to sleep. Pump, pump. The bus is breaking. The bus is bumping, moving and bumping.
And yes, going to Samadhi. Sleep so nice.
So what is happening is, so in one sense, the consciousness, all of them are souls. Consciousness is the same. And the matter, they are also saying the blush green tea, that also same. But the mode, the subtle force, that shapes the interaction between consciousness and matter. Shapes the interaction is the same matter will produce a different effect on the consciousness. If the consciousness is being affected by goodness, the same matter will produce a different effect, different emotion. Because the person is passion, different effect will come. So, sometimes we have some shakti or some dark, and then somebody will say, yes, somebody will say, oh my. So, how many difference is there? The matter is the same. Now, I'm not saying you have any judgment, which is good and which is bad, because different people have different tastes. And it's saying your observation. So, basically, the matter is the same and the soul also is the same. The both are similar to the soul. But, depending on the mode, the shaping of the interaction is different. So, now we cannot say that that particular spicy prasad is impassioned because prasad is transcendent. But, although it is transcendent, it can have effect on us. So, that's why we can also observe features. Living passion and living goodness, whatever. And for our own health sake. So basically that's the mode is a subtle force that shapes the interaction with matter and spirit. So now Krishna will describe how to recognize the predominance of a particular mode while this competition is going on. First goodness. Sarva dvareshu dehesmi rasa upajayate jnanam yada tada
Yeah.
susarva dvareshu. The concept of dvara came earlier in chapter 13. Nama dvare pure jati. So, then all the doors of the body are illuminated. Illuminated by what? Knowledge. So here there are two words, jnanam and vidya. So, they are having different connotations. You know, when the gates are illuminated by knowledge, that is jnana, at that time, vidya, or you should get the vidya, you should know that goodness is predominating. So, like now, how are the gates illuminated? Just like if a person is drunk, and what happens? Just hear the knock, just open the door. Boom, he's coming. There is no discrimination to understand who is going to come, who is not going to come. So, one of our devotees was telling, one of his friends went to America and he was in Chicago. Like Chicago is one of the crime capitals of America. So there is a house and one night 10 o'clock somebody knocked on the door. He opened the door, boom! The person had a gun, he blew him up. And they stole everything from his house. The next morning when they came, the agent came to the office and then he called up and they found out this door. So you know, if we are not discriminating, we just open the door to anybody. Anything. And then the same disaster comes. So like that in the mode of ignorance, we open our senses to anything and everything. You know, any impression, any thought, any sensation. And we are not having the discrimination. So, but when senses are illuminated by knowledge, that means we are in the sense. For certain things, I should open them. For other things, I should not open them. We have that verse, that's what you have to order that. Yata samharati good moment. So, I told Lakshmana, so when we have Mr. Pija over here, we have Mataji from Prabhupada, it was facing each other, not at all. She told her that the temple hall is not big enough, but they want to have an extension of the temple hall, the fact that they have to. So, we have to be careful to know that when our senses can get agitated and minimize that. So, and the senses are illuminated by knowledge, and then one can discriminate. Discriminate. And Prakash Puja, this is the characteristic of Putin. Basically, he is that guiding the senses, there is discrimination. And then, based on the discrimination, one knows what I should open my senses, this is what I should not open my senses. Then, after that, the best word is then Ashok. Lobha Pravrittirarambhaya चेतानि जायन्ते विरुद्धे सर्वः सर्वस्य एसेन्स ऑफ मोर पैशन इज लोभः मोर आई वांट मोर एंड देन प्रवृत्तिर आरंभः प्रवृत्ति टू बी एक्टिव आरंभ इज टू बिगिन. So, person with a passion begins new projects all the time. We start reading one book, then that book will go in there. Drop this book, go to the next. And then you start that book, and then some of the things will be very interesting. So, you come to the and then you go to the new projects will start. And what happens is, starting new has some excitement to it. Continue to start Bhagavatam. That's 3 years I've been doing Bhagavatam. It seems to be boring. So, actually, the best solution is to have some time for regular reading and some time for miscellaneous reading. And because you usually find something interesting, useful for a person, and you can read them. It is just jumping from one book to another to another. So, starting new books for you, no regular arm. Then it's the mode of action. So, like that, it can happen with many things. So, to some extent, it is natural when you start something. Over a period of time, our interest will diminish. For example, if I was very intense in myself, that is when I focus on it. Now, over maybe 1 day, 2 days, 1 week, when I do this book, after what happens? The interest starts going down, going down, going down. And I think, I am not getting it. So, let me just not watch. So, sometimes it is good because our bhakti also, because if we are not like this high bhav, then we can be studying our bhakti in all aspects. Our enthusiasm and inspiration changes. So, if it requires even many years, maybe 1 month we focus on something, next month we focus on reading Prabhupada.
next month I want to focus on maybe developing a new self strategy. Next month I can have a focus on something else. So we can change because our mind does need change. But the change should also be planned. It's not that today I decide, I'll be jumping now. And failure I can, and I think I'm going to rise for something else. And if that's what happens, just keep changing, keep doing. Then what happens? So, because there are two extremes. One is that we try to improve every aspect of our situation. I need to get over it. Let me not go anywhere. I just stay where we are. It's good to take one aspect and improve it. But if you just stick to one aspect throughout our life, as the extension goes away, you can see our strategy within Krishna consciousness or our activities. But it should be clear. This is the outer arm of the hand. Yeah.
So,
I have where to engage our senses and where to withdraw. Is the desire to lord over the passion? Yes. Are you asking about yourself, or are you asking about using your own activity or another activity? What is the question? Yeah. Or both? Well, generally speaking, we have to think that when you start new projects or new activities, new services, then you have to have two ideas. One is that you should appeal to the sanction. It should appeal to the best. Appeal to the sanction. And secondly, we need to have some basic bottom line for our core sadhana. And if this is going to erode into that, because I have started this program, so I don't get time with me, I'm not going to get up in the morning because this program is 8 9, we should not allow that. So we can always start, that's not a problem. And with respect to others, no, it's not so clear about others. In general, whether somebody is in passion or somebody is in goodness or somebody is in compassion, we don't know. Prabhupada was very fast. How much he did. So, it surely can be passion, but we can never be sure. So, that's not the judge. And to some extent, Prabhupada also said that, we don't want to be Brahmanas. You are Brahmanas, but Kshatriyas. Brahmanas, but Kshatriyas. Chanakya Pandita said that. They are not satisfied Brahmanas. You are a Brahmana who wants to be should do something. So like that, if you want to change society, if you want to implement the pleasure in our position, but we need a legal system. So, Bhaktivinoda Maharaj says in that book, a genuine follower of Prabhupada can be experienced by two characters. Okay, there are many characteristics. So there is a sense of purpose and a sense of urgency. Sense of purpose. I have to do something. And I think that's true. Sense of purpose and sense of purpose. So we all have to have that. And somebody has that. I would say that somebody has that. It's a great blessing for Krishna. To have that sense of purpose and sense of purpose. Sometimes that urgency may become, they seem too urgent to us. This is okay. In general, it would be better for us to be on the balance. But if at all you have to err, you can always err on the side of being extra and being less. Because if you're doing extra, after all you're less than so if I'm less, then you have to stop and dance with your image. So of course, if you do extra, we're not going to do extra for a long time. And we will come back to our capacity over here. But it's not at all going to judge others. Who's in passion and who's in goodness. And what we should judge is whether I can cope up with this case or not. If you cannot cope up with that case, you can surely tell. It's too fast for me. I can't do it. But, you know, our incapacity should not superimpose on other passion. So what may happen is, because I have noticed this, that when somebody is situated in goodness, they can do passionate activities in goodness also. At least, you know, somebody can be running around and can be very peaceful in goodness. You know, we are sitting peacefully and our mind is running around. So, somebody, so that means, actually, if we are internally situated in goodness, then we can do a lot of things fast also. But what happens is, this thing only gets external, because it is so fast. So we don't have to judge like that. But we can surely judge. If I do like this, I go into passion. So I should not do. But if I go suddenly so fast, then what will happen? I go into passion, I get irritated, this happened, then I have. So I should not do that. That way, we can discriminate for what is good for us. But we should not judge for others. We can go in the zone of passion of rather than me. Yeah, fastness or doing a lot of things, starting new projects, does not necessarily have to be a terrible passion. You know, Maharaj is given up a deadline, that's a little worry. It is a huge deadline. You could call it passion. No, it's not passion. Because we are convinced that the person has not done instruction is transient. But then others, we may not be so convinced that the person is transient. That's why we may get around in this passion. But even in the master doing instruction like this, you know, if we find that we're fulfilling that instruction, we are going to do it with a mode of action, then it is our responsibility for this life. We are responsible to do whatever it takes to nourish ourselves. That means that the spiritual master may give a specific instruction, but the specific instruction does not suspend the normal instruction. The normal spiritual channel is to follow for the main principles, to attend the morning program. The standard instruction. And the specific instruction is addition to the normal instruction. But if you fulfill the specific instruction, you suspend the normal instruction. And not just for 1 or 2 days, but maybe for 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, that is not a problem. So, in general, the specific instruction is a supplement to the normal instruction, not a substitute to the normal instruction. And of course, to some extent, you know, we have passion, you know, we can't deny that. Unless we get passionate and some engagement is okay with our passion, we'll start finding Krishna consciousness both. And then we'll start finding Maya interest. As soon as we start finding Krishna consciousness both. So that's why it's good to have some challenges in our future. Right? This is passion. This is a deadline.
So many, so many verses, so many hours.
But that is creating excitement. That is creating a sense of direction, a sense of accomplishment. And that's good.
Scoreboard. We have spoken a lot of that in everybody's mind till now.
Yeah, word board you can say. Yeah, I will ask question, we move forward. Suppose you are given an instruction which is very demanding and which evokes the passion within us. And while fulfilling that instruction, if we offend other devotees, then is it allowed or is it that because the instruction is there, so we have protection of the offender? When Ajamil was going on an instruction to get gold for his father. Isn't it? So our Sarvalakshmi would ask the question to Gopal Krishna Maharaj. So he said, you know, he has gone on instruction to do service. So
Maharaj told him, even if you are an instruction teacher, you have to follow the basic instruction of controlling the senses. If you don't control the senses, then service itself, what kind of service are you doing? So, actually, Maharaj was in Bhagavatam class, and suddenly Maharaj called him. So, Maharaj, whatever you want to do, we tell you, Maharaj. Who had some improper behavior with some women. So, now, what is the principle of teaching by that? That, you know, if you are not being nice to each other, even if you open an administrative temple, I am not interested in that temple. That means, Vaishnava contempt of Vaishnava etiquette is implied in all our service. Now, sometimes, an occasional lapse may happen. Occasional lapse means what? Sometimes with the heat of the moment, you might see something. But that should be minimal. Just like Lord Ram was, had gone to chase the Maricha, and at that time, the sound came, hey Lakshman, hey Sita. So at that time, Mother Sita said something to Lakshman, which she had not thought of like that. And that time also she was not serious about it. So, you know, the agony of the moment, there is secret. And there is no reference in the Ramayana to Lakshman speaking about that afterwards. So, I think, you know, Lakshman is not fully revealed to the Lakshman language. But still, according to Sivasana Acharya, because Sita offended Lakshman, because she turned away from Ram, she was embedded by Lama. And because she offended Lakshman, so she was rejected by Ram. Rejected by Ram was the means she had to take and talk to her all the Lakshman after. So, then that had a reaction. Ram was with her, but she was attracted to the name. And she says, oh, you know, Abhiram. Abhiram means that the deer is very attractive. Abhiram means more than that. Indirect meaning over there. So in the presence of Ram, she turned towards the deer. And then what happened? Because of that, she was taken away. But because she, now of course, ultimately, Mother Sita is the goddess of fortune. And this is just for our instruction. But the point is, Vishnu conduct is implied in everything that we do. And sometimes it does happen that in the heat of the moment, we relate to something, but then we should apologize on the word and we should make amends. And we are going to try to create a schedule and a lifestyle that this moment will happen too often. So otherwise, everybody will always be seeking some corrective at some time or other. And everybody, if they start putting compromising Vaishnava etiquette because of their individual crisis, then there will be no Vaishnava etiquette left. So to some extent, the etiquette has to be there. Of course, I am struggling on this. I am myself very passionate, so it's very easy to see people. I mean, the blessing of all of you also, so that I think at last, action of all the lines. So, let's move forward. Now, Krishna replies the mode of, when the mode of ignorance is belonging. Aprakasho apravrittishya samado moha evacha samakte tani jayante yudhe guru nandana.
Yeah.
we discussed this earlier. I'm not going to do this. यदा सत्वे प्रतिष्ठितु प्रलयं यासि देहे अदोत्तमदां लोकान् अमरां प्रतिपद्यते So now that the next part is starting, the effects of moments. So here, the explanation after that is described. Change is essentially sudden happening. Okay, your character say low, my character say laziness. Suddenly what happens after that? Because ultimately everything that you do is going to have its effect in this life as well as next life. So he says, what happens is when you are born, uttam vidam yoga, vidam ishma. Uttam vidam is your excellent knowledge. So he says this refers to, Brahma loka, other such places, where people are intelligent. So the person will go there. Uttam vidam yoga. The relative is pure. By living in goodness, one goes upwards. तजसि प्रलयं दत्वा कर्मसंगीषु जायते तथा कर्मिन समस्ति मूर्योगीषु जायते So mode of the population is making. So that's why what we see is karma sangha is that we keep saying the word. So actually this idea of many times people ask this common question when you talk about Vinyana and karma. So there was a Christian theologian called Tertullian in the 3rd century. And Tertullian, he brought out what is about a convincing proof of refutation for incarnation. And because there the Christian idea is number of souls is fixed. At that time it was that. They said that 8 souls are not created as Christian doctrine is still. Then the number of souls is fixed. The number of souls is fixed and the population is increasing. So what is going to happen? There will be people who will not have souls also. So bodies will run out of souls. And therefore, since that time the argument is there that if souls are incarnated by population three. But the point is, first of all, the very culture explained that souls are not limited to human body. Souls are in all bodies. And the souls in the human body are coming back because most of them are out of fashion. And souls in animal species by the natural evolution are also coming up because they are in the mode of they are rising from the lower species to higher species. The very few are going up and many are still here. That's why the population is rising. And population rise is also very, very relative. But we have just observed the population for a few hundred years. Maybe at the most, population statistics are there for 1,000 years. Beyond that, it's just wild guess. They assume that people in the past are primitive and that's why population must have been there. But there are no reliable statistics for that. So, yeah. Parts of Spain, their idea is the soul is at the forehead. And that's why they say all religions they put the spot on the forehead, they don't put on the heart. But their most outrageous philosophy is that Bhagavad Gita was not spoken by Krishna, it was spoken by Brahma Baba. Shiva. So, then let it, whatever they want, they can use it. So anyway, the specific point is that that philosophy would make it like eternal damnation. Souls in animal bodies are forever condemned to animal bodies. That is, forever will suffer the cycle of birth and death. And there is no deliverance from it. And that
makes it as bad as the Christian philosophy.
There is eternal damnation. At least in Christian philosophy, we have the idea that Jesus will come and save the humans. But in that sense, it's very similar. So the animal species coming in this species. Actually, unfortunately, the Christian influence, even eminent Indian philosopher like Radhakrishnan, he also observes this idea that the soul will go to your animal species. Wherever the Puranas talk about it, it is only figuring, it is not different. That's why this notion has come about quite popularly. But there is no reference to the Bhagavatam. The Bharatmala story comes in many places. There is no reference to that either that it is figuring. And of course, we have the animals in Krishna consciousness, we can tell them about it. But it's not based on it. And with respect to the starting of the creation, at that time, when you see the mode of goodness is created, all that you do is humans are in the mode of goodness. The sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavna. Sarva, what is that? It's a very difficult question. Prabhupada said this is essentially what it is. Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakriti nyansi namatam kalpakshe punastani kalpado yishu kaamuni. Then one said, sarva bhutani, all meanings are created in the part of it. And Bhagavatam describes elaborately how originally there are human species only, but then for the Prajapati they can procreate other species also. The Prajapati Chaiti, Shatarupaya and Swayambhu or whoever they are, they by their union can beget lower species also. That's how lower species come to. So the mode of goodness being present in the beginning of the Yuga means that it applies to humans. So lower species also can show. So now when there is prelina samasthi, the time in the mode of existence, two effects can be there. One is that one goes to the lower species or one goes to the lower planet. So here Krishna describes the lower species and what he will describe the lower planet. So now he describes the effect after that. Now he describes the long term effect in this life. Particular mode. Karmanansikrutasyahu sattvikam nirmalam phalam rajasattupalam dukkham ajnanam tamasapalam. Then he describes the immediate effect as soon as we come to a particular mode. Tattva sanjayate jnanam yajako lobhaeva cha samaja moham tamso bhavato jnanam eva cha. So Prabhupada writes in the purport here that earlier the standard of progress of society was increase in the mode of goodness. But now the standard of progress is increase in the mode of passion. The more passion increases, the society progresses faster. We grow faster. That is the mode of passion. Progress is considered the mode of passion. So, the Prabhupada also writes that actually if somebody is in the mode of passion, but this is to phalam dukkham. Inside that word, the result of more passion is infinite. I think in this purport Prabhupada mentioned that Gaur Anandji, and one of his purports, we have seen in the previous one, he mentions that if somebody is feeling greedy, then he has to understand that actually I want this car. I want to become a house. So, you think that by getting that I will become happy. But, by getting that, the mode of passion is now going to go. And because the mode of passion is there, after getting that, it is being greed for something else. The greed is not caused by the object, the greed is caused by the consciousness. So, often we say that this is somebody else, something better than others. So, I want that. And if you say, oh, if you didn't have that, I don't want that. It would not have mattered so much. But the greed is not caused by that object. It is caused by our own consciousness being infected by that action. And that's why, if one wants to become satisfied, it's not that obtaining the objects. So no matter how many objects you obtain, the greed will still remain. It's by purifying oneself and coming to the world. That's the only way to become happy. It's not by earning money and obtaining the objects if you want. So the objects were not there, there's no question of that hand can come. That is true. That's why in the sadhaka stage, you keep all the things and the objects are not possible. But that does not mean that you have your heart. So, but the text of detachment is that, meaning the principle of it, there is no service. So, in answer to there is a service, and that's why you keep all the things. Yeah. So, now, to conclude this section, that is why what happens in general direction. ऊर्ध्वं गच्छन्तिकत्वस्थ मध्ये तिष्ठन्ति राजसा गगन्यमनवत्तिस्था अधो गच्छन्ति तामसा. So we have final break, isn't it? So we have final break. And you should be able to complete this chapter. We will do a few words for this chapter also. Hare, let's continue. With the 14th chapter. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna. So where have we come? We have completed this section of Purvam Lakshmi. Now Krishna completed this section and now we are going to talk about liberation and freedom. So now this. And Arjuna will ask a question. So Krishna in this verse 18 has talked about three directions. Go up, go down, or stay wherever you are. But there is a fourth option. Get out. So now we will talk about that option. At the section, lastly, continuing. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yadagrastan prashri gune vyachyaparam vyachri avanto nirachyati. Part of the mode. So actually, when I am attracted to sense objects and I think I enjoy it, then to the modes are seen, and people don't get involved in this. So first one, understand the modes are only letting everybody act, including me. And secondly, guna is drishya param guna. When I understand that there is someone beyond the guna. Now, Prabhupada explained that param to be the super soul, the authority part is the soul. But when I have to understand both to be beyond. So when I understand that there is a soul and the super soul are beyond, then what happens? Then one can transcend the modes. So it begins by this knowledge. But actually, the modes are acting and I am beyond them. Then one can madhavam sodhyamshi. Now the Mayavadi's love is madhav and becoming many times. My nature, my state of being. So in this way he attains Brahman. It's quite liberated. Yes, my state of being can mean that, and Sakrati Pat says that the Jnana Yogi with bhakti does this, he will think of it, he will go to Brahman. But Madhbhava, Bhava, it does not necessarily have to be that only Brahman. It can also be, you can go back to spiritual world, and I think Krishna's nature, that means become spiritual, that's right, Krishna. Now Krishna elaborated the same thing on more words, next time. What will happen then, when Madhavan Sodhyacchati Kuna Nitanati Satri Devi Devaka Nurdhavan ബ്രഹ്മമൃത്യുജരായ മുക്തോ മാനവശേ. So here Gandhi is not mentioned. It is included.
Longest Prabhupada in 6th chapter, Samadhi Vada.
That's 4.5 hours left. Yes, 4 hours left. So, Prabhupada generally gives his verses. Sometimes he clubs them, they should be seen. So, this question is answered to the end of the year. Now, the first sutra is very interesting. Now, Prakasha, Pravritti, and Moha, these are the words. They each refer to Prakasha refers to goodness, Pravritti refers to passion, and Moha refers to ignorance. So, what he is saying is, na dveshti sam pravrittani. When they come, one doesn't wish. And when they go away, one doesn't hanker for it. That means it's very interesting statement that sometimes, you know, when the more the demon starts affecting us, so that means the mode of goodness, mode of ignorance is coming and we are very affected by it. So on the other hand, so the hankering for the mode of goodness also indicates that unsuitability. So one doesn't even hanker for goodness, one doesn't present rationality. All the reasons, if they are coming, let them come, then go. Na deshti sankutta kutpati, na nittani kaamishati. Udasi na vadasi, man. Still detached. Guna vartan, gunai yonan chalati. I'm not discovered guna. And he says, okay, these emotions are coming in the mind. They are not mind emotions. They are just gripped by the mood, they will come and they will go. They are not actually mind emotions. Guna vartan chitya, yog otishtati, nindate. Not nindate. The word nindate has come. 6.19 Thadhi Ponivadasto Nindrate Sokomasita. So, na Indrate. So, here what Krishna is describing is that the emotions will come in us, but we are not affected by the emotions. Let them come, they will go. Let them come, they will go. So, Yodhidam is all in you. So, at our level, should we aspire for goodness? Should we aspire for transcendence? We should aspire for goodness. And when we are transcended, we will understand that even goodness also and it's lost. But at our level, we should aspire for goodness so that we can serve Krishna better. And then after that, he basically describes equanimity. Equanimity was happiness and distress, desirable and desire, honor is honor. And the person is gunatmita. So we can see somebody who is gunatmita and distress, he poisoned all situations. And devotee is not necessarily true for it. Because transcendent has transcendent emotions. Shamsundar told us that the thing that attracted me to Prabhupada was that he had the most alive eyes that I had seen in India. Alive, most expressive eyes. So Prabhupada, through his eyes, could express a panorama of emotions. That's very interesting observation. There's not a dry body, no energy. So, that is about spiritual emotions. Krishna is entirely in character. But to some extent, we have these two poisonous emotions also. And that's also an essential aspect of spiritual emotions. Now, for example, Krishna describes how one transcends it. Mamsha yogya vicharena, bhakti yogena devate, sahunan samati jayta. Bhūyāya kalpate. So, this verse is in the alarm bell. We heard this verse so many times. But if you look at the literal translation, it is the alarm bell. That means by bhakti one let in Brahman itself. But unbreakable bhakti, what will happen? One will attain Brahmanita. You will become, kalpati means become qualified for. That means bhakti will make one qualified for Brahman. So this will be very paradoxical. So, why am I saying like this? This will be rather than many chapters. But briefly, what he is saying is, this section is the section for jnanis. And for jnanis also, if they want to transcend the mode, if they want to attain Brahman, they have to practice them. And they have to practice unbreakability. Now as devotees also we understand that by practicing unbreakable bhakti, you will transcend the mode. Now transcend the mode, our spiritual emotions will begin.
But this section is the Jnani section. Section for Jnani. And here Krishna is describing Prabhupada in the introduction, in the first or second or fourth page of this chapter, that if one studies the more systematically by philosophical speculation, one will come to the conclusion of those things. A philosophical speculation, I mean, these modes are very powerful. The only way I can go beyond the mode is by the So, this word, Krishna is not, in this word at least, he is not emphasizing these two things. He is emphasizing the indispensability of the speed. Even for the jnani to attain the transcendence, he has to have one. And other vichara is not. And immediately, to bring the alarm, Krishna is clarifying the nature. If he is in bhakti to you, why is he going to Brahman? If he is in bhakti to you, he should come back to you. Is Brahman higher than you? No. He shall look at the next verse. No, he pratishtaham. Why is he going to Brahman? Because Brahman is known. Brahman is man and person. Brahman is called the human. And he is going to Brahman because that is what he is. Ye dhama prapatyate. So if somebody desires, does my bhakti with the desires of Brahman, I will give him Brahman. But as if Krishna is basically following ye dhama prapatyate. You clarify that Brahman is the Krishna's support. I am the support of Brahman. There is the word Pratishtha coming elsewhere. Timothy. Asatyama Pratishthante Sadaho Ramishwaram. Here this word has no foundation. Who is the foundation of this word? Foundation of this word also is Krishna. So Krishna is the foundation of this word, Krishna is the foundation of Brahmanam. So Brahmano hi Pratishthaham. And Amrut Satya Avyaya. So this Brahman is Amrut. It is nectar. But it is heavenly nectar? No. It is Avyaya. It is imperishable nectar. Chashvata Sri Dharma. It is Sukhasthi Dhamma. So now, this is used to the glorification of Brahman. But it is not exactly the glorification of Brahman. Because Brahman represents not his Brahman Jyoti. Brahman represents his spiritual platform. So even the ultimate happiness of bhakti is experienced on the Brahman platform. So Krishna is saying, I am the foundation of the Brahman, I am the support of the Brahman, and the Brahman is the platform where eternal happiness is practiced. The Shashvata Dharma is practiced. The Shashvata Dharma of bhakti is practiced at the Brahman level. The iconic sukha that comes from bhakti is experienced at the Brahman level. So Brahman is the platform. Without being at the Brahman level, one cannot experience happiness. And even by being at the Brahman level, without practicing bhakti, one cannot experience supreme happiness. It's just like that to become Brahman, to become fulfilling your life, is like becoming a millionaire. So a millionaire can enjoy a lot. You can go to Switzerland, whatever you want, you can enjoy a lot, you can do whatever you want. But by becoming a millionaire, one doesn't enjoy. By acting on the platform of the millionaire, one enjoys. Isn't it? So it's only when one, okay, I'll spend money, I'll purchase this, I'll go here, I'll do this. So like that, the jnani has become Brahman. But by becoming Brahman, he is inactive. So he's not acting on the level of Brahman. It's only when he acts on the level of Brahman, then he will experience sukhasthi ekanta. So now this word makes the throne to the So Krishna is starting the point here, which is concluding over there. Here Krishna is saying, under your bhakti, you will come to Brahman. But there Krishna is saying, after coming to Brahman, your bhakti will be used. At that time, you will get bhakti. What is there is Parabhakti, that is Kevala Bhakti, your bhakti will be there. So, Again, I will repeat this, because it's 10 years old, as you understand. Why? Because the jnani who wants to go to Brahman, he is approaching Krishna for it. Krishna for it is there. But then, so after demonstrating the glory of bhakti, even a jnani cannot fulfill his desire for liberation without bhakti. In Krishna, after all, the supreme position of his own, or the supreme position, that he is in support of the Brahman. And on that Brahman platform, the same thing happens to the experience. That platform is the dharma of bhakti. Jnana and karma are not eternal dharma. Why? Because they are taking the body, the intellect, they are all temporary. And bhakti is related to the soul, bhakti is the dharma. So sukhasya ekanti is the teacher. Now, yes, the question. So you know, even the spiritual world, just the Brahma Bhuti platform only. But it's higher than Brahma Bhuti, but the foundation is the same. If he doesn't want Krishna, no, he pulls that only. So Krishna said, Ami, Krishna says, Sathya Mahaprabhu, then Krishna says that Krishna Bhajya Magyam Shayasu, Ami Vidya Ein Murka Vishakina Dipa, so Charana Mukti Vishaya Bhulla Dipa. So he says over there that if somebody comes and worships me and desires his blessing, then I will use the nectar of my lotus feet and I will make him subject to me. So this is surely true, but ultimately as the moment principles that Krishna does not interfere with the human being. So Krishna will use Charanamrita, but after that, even after that, still he wants Vishek. What will you do? Let's take a successive example. First example is of Dhru Maharaj. Dhru Maharaj, he came with the Ichha of Vishek. And what happened to him? He saw, he got the Charanamrita, Charanamrita, Darshan of the Lord. So he got the Charanamrita, he got the Darshan of the Lord. And immediately he says, Kacham Vichinmana Pudimbara. This is what some people ask, that is, I want that, I don't want this. Okay? So what happened here? Here he has come to sympathize with that, but here the sympathize with the same contact with Krishna. On the other hand, let us look at Pururava example. Pururava, this is the time of the 9th century canto. So what happened to him? You know, Purvashi went away and he delivered Yajna to Vishnu. And Saksha Vishnu came at the end of the Yajna and was, please give me Pururava. Sorry, Murushika. Murushika, Murushika. So what does that mean? So he has Sakshat Darshan of Vishnu, but he is saying, I want to go to Vishnu. So what happens when he says that? Nothing happens, no transformation took place. No transformation took place. Why? Because he held on to the desire so strongly. Now, of course, eventually he gets frustrated in worship, and at the end, he becomes a pure devotee. Right? Took a long time. So he held on to that desire even after seeing that Shrimad. So if he holds on to that desire, Krishna doesn't change that. So there is force in Krishna. Now, on the other hand, let's take the example of Kamsa. Not Kamsa, Jarasandha. Jarasandha saw Krishna so many times. And he saw also Krishna into the power of Krishna. And so what happened? Krishna spared his life, but he's not like, oh, Krishna, you're so compassionate, you're so merciful, you spared my life. Will you give him God another life? So practically speaking, his desire never changes. Only when he died, he was liberated. So now we can argue that Jarasandha never performed bhakti. It's fine. But according to Shri Jarasandha, Jarasandha performed bhakti. He performed bhakti of Vishnu, but he was offensive of Krishna. If you answer, I was going to give an extreme example, that's the devotional sentiment over there. Is there that just as Janardhan performed bhakti of Vishnu but disrespected Krishna and so he was doomed. So it is like that, if somebody performs bhakti of Krishna but just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is also doomed. So, now that is not an absolute statement, it is a devotional sentiment. because there are other places where Shankaracharya Sanyasa expresses narrative Vaishnavas with respect to those Vaishnavas who do not accept him as God. That is a devotional sentiment which you have to understand. But anyway, the point is that he was his mother, and apparently he was performing Bhakti to Vishnu. So that is not giving him God. So that means, ultimately, even Bhakti will change our heart when we want to change our heart. If we don't want to change our heart, then Bhakti will lapse, let it lapse, that it may take a enormously long time. That's a balance. So the Lord never interferes with the free will of the individual. The Lord will give opportunity to change that, change the mission of the individual. But the Lord will not force it. Avivichari, and the Chakravarti Pad translates as not as pure but as unbreaking. What is the difference between pure and unbreaking? Unbreaking means he does not fall from the platform of heart. But pure means with the desire to be Krishna. So, here it is not even considered the desire to be Krishna to go back to Krishna. It's just that in the practice of bhakti there is no breakage. So, if there is no practice, in the practice of bhakti, then there will be some spiritual advancement by that, and the person gets disentangled from karma and he can go forward. The Prabhupada says, he is one who never falls down. That's what translates from the Vijayan. He doesn't translate that as completely pure hearted. It's only the desire to please Krishna. And secondly, the Jnana Vishnu Bhakti surely can lead to liberation. That's clearly said by Chakravarti Pad. And among them, that's what the soul desires, Krishna will provide in them. It's a reciprocal. So earlier we discussed that a pradhani would jnana vishnu bhakti, that is happening. That difference is very bad. That Chakravarti Pad explains that if somebody has appreciation for the person who is in the world, but that appreciation is combined with jnana, if you replace the jnana marg or the remnants of the jnana marg, then you will go to the spiritual world where he will be more shantaras, or some rasa like that, where he will admire the person who is in the world. It will not be any active service. But if somebody is not attracted by the person who is in the world, and attracted by Brahma, he will go to Brahma. So, we have to always remember that the Yesama property that is equal, Krishna is going to admire him. He comes in whatever he wants to do. Of course, he will try to give us the best. But if we hold on to our desires, he will not half sit down on us. It's not audible. Can the Brahma Jyoti be called the energy of the Lord? Generally, Tattvanga Jnana Madhvai, a Brahmin's sense of the Lord direct, it's not an energy, it's an aspect of the Lord. So Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan are the aspects of the Lord. Whereas Tattva, Antaranga and Swarupa and Bhairanga, they are the energies. So it's not that, generally that means, although the energy and energy are non-different, but still there is some difference. So this is the Brahman, there is no difference. Krishna is the Brahman. So is that, it's like, are all of you here? See, the absolute truth has the aspect of Chidananda. But absolute truth is one. So when the sub aspect of the absolute alone is truth alone realized, that is called as Brahman. The satanchit aspects are realized, it is called as Paramatma. And Sarchit and all aspects are realized, it is called as Bhagavan. But all three are one. There is only one person, but just like yesterday I was read a I'll give you an example, aesthetic appreciation. So this particular building will be seen as a shelter by a dog, but it will be seen as an aesthetically constructed palace by a prince. What is different? In this level of consciousness is different. It's not that the palace is different. Some ideal pictures are there, but they are realized. But the ideal pictures are there even when the dog is there. The dog is able to recognize it. So like that, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan are Advaya Tattva. They are very substance. But the realization is different. So that's why it's not that Brahman is different from Krishna and Krishna, Brahman is Krishna energy. Brahman is Krishna. Correct. Correct. Last question. We are modeling for a question. So how is Brahman the constitutional condition of happiness? So now, Brahman is the aspect of God, this is all pervading. And Brahman pervades all of existence, material existence, which exists. It's kept Prabhava Prabhavato, civilizing the body. So, it is on the Brahman platform, in the spiritual realization, that one experiences spiritual happiness. In that sense, even if one wants to experience spiritual happiness, one has to have at least a certain realization. The realization is performed in common level. At least that realization has to be there, and further realization has to be built up. Then one can get the happiness of bhakti. So that's the platform. That is the platform, but on that sheet and arm has to be added. That is the foundation. So, should we stop here or should we try to start the next chapter a little bit? Yeah, Yanni Brahma, not Mayavadi. Mayavadi cannot go to the spiritual world. Not necessarily, not all Yanni Brahmavadi. It depends on individual consciousness. If the person is offending Krishna by thinking his form to be made of matter, then he's the Mayavadi. Otherwise, he's Brahmavadi. The specific memory may or may not be protected, but the attraction to Krishna will be protected. If somebody has got a good memory, it is coming from a past life, Well, there are two different things. There is the power of memory and there is the content of memory. The power of memory can come from past life good karma. The power of memory means the ability to memorize. But whether the content of memory will be passed on, that is question. In the general case it happens. But it's not necessary that all advanced devotees necessarily have to have the memory of the past life. Attraction will be there. Yes, so I think after this question we'll stop. Which quality? What is the difference between energy and quality? Generally, if you look at the qualities as described in the Nectar of Devotions, four qualities, they are directly his personal attributes. He's charitable, he's grateful, he's compassionate, so he's healed love, he always he's Prashant. So, these are all his personal attributes. Now, whereas the energies, they can be is, we have this internal and external marginal energies. So, they are not exactly directly his personal attributes. They are there with him, not that they are not different, but they are not directly his personal attributes. They are the energies. So, quality refers to personal attributes. More of the direct characteristics of Bhagwan as a person. So, let's just talk about Bhagwan expanses everything. So, one important point with which I'll conclude this time. The impersonalist and the personalist, a foundational difference between them is that the personalist, the devotee, understands Bhagwan to be the highest reality. And when Bhagwan is incompletely realized, then there is what is called as Brahma. Whereas the impersonalists consider Brahman to be the fundamental reality. And they consider that when material qualities are superimposed on Brahman, that results in Bhagwan. So, when material qualities are superimposed on Brahman, that means that Brahman is formless, but because we cannot meditate on the formless, so we ascribe a form to that Brahman. And when a form is ascribed to that Brahman, then that Brahman becomes Bhagwan. So they consider Bhagwan realization to be incomplete realization. And because something has been added to the actual reality. And after adding something, so when actual reality is Brahman, if you add something to Brahman, then you get Bhagwan. And you remove that, then you will get Brahman, and that is actually the absolute reality. Whereas the Vaishnavas, they understand that Bhagavan is the absolute reality, and when certain attributes of Bhagavan are removed, then we get the partial reality of Brahman. So, why is this significant difference? The difference is significant because most of the scriptures, especially the Puranas and Tihasas, are talking about the activities of Bhagavan. The words of Bhagwan, the activities of Bhagwan. So now, the Mayavadi has to consider all of them to be inclusive. And that's why they have to consider a larger segment of scripture to be inclusive. Large portion of scripture to be inclusive. And that's why their religion, their philosophy, ultimately is not supported by scripture, it is imposed on scripture. Because it's like, suppose I am speaking. And I'm giving a class in which, or there was somebody giving a class in which actually you give a lot of instruction, you're not doing this properly, you're not doing this properly, you're not doing this properly, you're not doing this properly. And to mild the class, he says, no, actually what you're doing, this is good. So, it is one thing which you're doing, this is good. The temple is very clean, quiet, the devotees are not coming for the morning program, this is not good, this is not good. So, what happens, somebody is controlling the mic system. So, what he does? Whenever all the chastisement and correction goes, switch off the mic. And only when the praise is given, switch off the mic. So what happens is like that? By that, that's so selective as to be distorted. Isn't it? So what the Mayavadis have to do is, And here we so selective, and most of the scripture there is the same as mine. Illusion, and only a few places where it talks of Brahma. This is reality, this is reality, this is reality. So it's selective to the point of being deceptive. Selective to the point of being deceptive. Whereas, now, we also, there are certain verses in scripture which do talk about Brahman realization. And we acknowledge that Brahman realization is a valid realization, it's also valuable realization, but it's not the ultimate realization. And wherever certain verses talk about it, we can say, yes, this refers to Brahma, everyone can go to Brahma. But that is not the highest. Because we look at it from the point of view of the mood of the scripture, the emphasis of the scripture. So, in the afternoon class, we started Jiva Goswami Tatparalinga. Tatparalinga is, if you are studying a book, how can we determine what is the conclusive message of the book? Give some criteria for that. It's very interesting and important. And we will do that, and then we'll start with the 15th chapter. Thank you very much. Shri Bhagavad Gita ki Jai, Shri Rupa ki Jai, Gaur Bhakti Vrinda ki Jai, Gaur Bhakti Vrinda ki Jai.